Dub CNN right here with the one and only Be Real. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Just lounging up in the studio.
Okay, you know, you've been in the game for almost two decades now. How would you rate the year 2007?
I mean, you know, it's been okay. I mean, I'd give it a 7. There's been some good stuff, and there's been a lot of bullshit, but some of the good stuff is really good, so... You know, but that's what it is in hip-hop. There's so much of it now. There's so much of it now, you know what I mean, that, you know, it's a matter of opinion on what's good and what's not. You know, in my opinion, there was a few good things out there and a lot of crap, you know, so...
Right.
What it is.
Okay. And you just put out your latest mixtape, Gunslinger Volume 3. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, basically, you know, the mixtapes are just for me to keep something in the street, you know, so that people will, you know, still be recognizing and you know, so that I'm giving something extra to the street before the next Cypress record, before my solo record and stuff like that, and just kind of to show the versatility of the type of beats we can fucking get on and you know, make crack, you know what I mean? So it serves a few different purposes. Plus, I just like making songs and writing music, so, you know.
Okay.
Another outlet to put out music, you know.
And how would you say Volume 3 compares to the two previous mixtapes?
Well, you know, I just try to keep it consistent. You know, I listen to the songs that are on 1 and 2 and try to pick out songs that are as good as those ones, if not better, you know what I mean? So I try to take it up each record to another level. So, you know, I feel real good about this one. You know, the songs are a little bit deeper and you know, it all came together pretty good, so I like it.
Okay, and you also started your production company, Audio Hustlers, is that correct?
Yeah.
What's that all about? How'd you come up with that?
Well, basically, you know, Audio Hustlers is the production company. It's, you know, myself and my partner, Jay Turner, and you know, we've been just trying to, you know, develop... you know, artists like Young D and a couple others that we've been working on with, and, you know, getting our production out there. Not a lot of people know that I do beats and stuff like that, so, you know, I have a couple projects going on to where, you know, my partner and I are doing a compilation called The Harvest, presented by Audio Hustlers, and, you know, that's going to highlight, obviously, new artists and our production, so, you know, hopefully... That shit gets out there, and the word gets out that, you know, not only am I slaying the rhymes, but I'm cracking the beats too, you know.
Okay, and how did you hook up with Young D, and what did you see in him that made you want to work with him?
Young D, I think I met through Mellow Man Ace and Corrupt. You know, he's one of Corrupt's boys, but I met him through my partner Mellow Man. Brought him over to the studio. You know, he had actually been kicking it for a while, but he had never said anything to me about getting on any songs, so I just thought, you know, I didn't know that he was spitting. And when we got him on the first song, I was, like, really impressed, so, you know, I decided to, like, you know, start just making beats primarily for him, you know, for his album or mixtape or whatever he was doing. And, you know, we've just been working ever since.
Okay. And who else is part of Audio Hustlers right now?
Right now, it's basically, you know, just my partner, myself, Young D, this other girl named Keen, and Eric Bobo from Cypress, and it's pretty much just us for right now, but we're trying to build up the camp, kind of like we did with the Soul Assassin camp, you know, like, recruit other rappers, other producers, you know, artists, whatever have you, you know.
Okay. And when do you think we can expect The Harvest to drop?
Sometime next year. You know, we're in the middle of it right now. You know, we got about 10 songs done. We're trying to get 20. So, you know, once we get to the 20, we're going to start mixing it down, seeing what we got to fix or, you know, or make better or whatever. And, you know, probably try to get it out maybe sometime after summer.
Okay. And, you know, so we see you got a lot on your plate right now, but, you know, everybody want to know when we can expect your solo album. Is it still called Smoke and Mirrors?
Yeah, still called Smoke and Mirrors. I'm trying to get it out there by May, and following that, a Cypress release in maybe June or July or something like that.
Okay, and this is your first real solo album after almost 20 years in the game. Is that a big challenge for you?
I mean, there's a little bit of pressure, but, you know, I've always worked well off of pressure, and, you know, I just like making music, so whatever other outlets I can use while Cypress is you know, in hibernation, you know, I'll use that avenue and stuff, you know. Fortunately, we're working on the Cypress record now as we're finishing my record, so, you know, it's going from one project to another. So, you know, it's good. I just love doing music, so, you know, the more the better for me.
Okay. And what do you think the fans should expect from the album musically? Is it that old Cypress sound or something new?
Well, on my record, it's definitely different than Cypress. It's, you know, different content, a little bit different sound and all that stuff, you know. With Cypress Hill, it's a certain formula, and with my stuff, I had to be different, because if I'm doing the same stuff, then I'm really not doing a different album. It's just an extension of Cypress, and I don't want it to be an extension of Cypress. I want it to be able to stand on its own. That way, when the Cypress shit comes, you know, that stands on its own, you know?
Okay, and which producers can we expect you to work with on it, except, you know, for your productions?
I did some stuff with Scoop DeVille, did stuff with this cat named Nalo, stuff with the Wreck Brothers, Fred Wreck and Salam.
Oh, okay.
Who else? Superfly did a few joints for me, and Sick Jackin from Sick Symphonies and Psycho Realm did a couple of songs with me as well, so.
All right.
So I got a few heaters on this record, you know. Definitely some street anthems.
Okay. Well, what about collaborations, features?
You know, I didn't really rely on getting too many features. You know, the only ones I really wanted to get were Damian Marley, which I got him, and I wanted to get Snoop and Cube, Ice Cube. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to get those joints with those two guys, because I think that would be good for the West Coast, showing, you know, us three together like that on some, you know, on my record and whatnot. So I'm trying to make that happen, and that'll be it for the cameos and the features, because I don't want to be leaning on nobody, you know.
Right. Okay. And what about the new Cypress album? What can you tell us about that?
You know, we barely got into production with that like 2 months ago, so we're still kind of new and fresh, you know, seeing where the vibe takes us and whatnot. Muggs is doing some songs. I'm doing a couple songs. We're getting Premier to do a few songs, and a couple other cats, you know, just to shake up the vibe a little bit different, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's going to be a powerful record, I can tell you that. With what we've done so far, it's going to be pretty powerful.
Okay, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about, oh, you know, Muggs isn't really a part of this album, this isn't a real Cypress album and all that. What do you have to say about that?
Well, Muggs is definitely going to be a part of this album. I mean, he's doing 6 songs and stuff like that, and that's pretty much, you know, a majority of the album. You know, he put like, you know, 12, 13, maybe 14 songs, and he's doing 6 of them, so there'll still be that vibe that he brings, you know what I mean? And he's still one of us. He just, you know, he just took a step back on the production, you know what I mean, to pretty much open the door for, you know, a new type of sound like that, you know, maybe Premier can contribute to our sound and stuff like that, you know what I mean? It's just opening it up a little bit, because we've been one way for so long. So, you know, we just kind of wanted to make things a little bit different. But it's going to be definitely a powerful record, for sure.
Okay, yeah, it's good to hear that. Ain't nothing changed with the Cypress.
Yeah, we're all good, man. It's still all about Soul Assassins, man. All good.
And what are you trying to achieve with this album? I mean, it's the 9th or 10th album in total, right?
What, with Cypress?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're like a franchise, Holmes. We want to keep winning and keep winning. You know, we're never satisfied. So, you know, we look at it like a competition. And you can't win them all, but you got to get back up and keep trying to win, you know, and that's what we're about. So we know that there's still a lot of good music left in us, so we just want to keep on making it happen.
Okay. And, you know, you hooked up with Snoop Dogg for his single Vato last year. There were mixed reactions from the Latino crowd to the song. You know, some considered it disrespectful. Would you say the song was misunderstood?
Yeah, it was definitely misunderstood, because if it was a disrespect, I would never have gotten on it, man. You know, I'm a proud Latino and all that. And, you know, I wouldn't take too kindly to anybody disrespecting, you know, my race and my people and stuff, you know, so... You know, I definitely don't think it was a disrespect. I definitely think that it was a misunderstanding. I think the way that they went recording it the first time with Pharrell,
yeah,
and Pharrell really not knowing the history here in Los Angeles, he didn't know. And, you know, so they called me to come and try to make things better. I did what I could, and some people liked it. Some people still thought it was a disrespect, but... Me, I know it wasn't a disrespect, so, you know, people can have their opinions and they can say what they want, but, you know, Snoop Dogg knows what's up. He got love for Latino, so.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't even question that.
All right, and do you know what happened to the remix of Vato, where we're supposed to come out with Diamonique and other Latino rappers?
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you, you know. That's pretty much a question for Snoop Dogg. Maybe they were just decided to move on to the next single.
Okay.
Because of the controversy. I mean, I don't really know. Maybe you'll hear it somewhere. Maybe it's an export somewhere.
All right. Okay, and how do you feel about, you know, new Latin rappers such as Omar Cruz or Joel Ortiz?
I like Joel Ortiz. I think he's probably one of the better new Latin rappers coming out. He's really dope. He's very lyrical, at least from what I've heard. You know, I've heard a few songs that he's done, and I like him a lot. He got a good delivery. He got a good flow. Omar Cruz, he's okay. I mean, it's not something that I normally listen to. He's not my type of rapper, but Joel Ortiz is definitely dope.
Okay. What about La Coca Nostra and Ill Bill?
Yeah, I like La Coca Nostra. They're really dope, man. You know, all those white boys can rap pretty good.
Okay, what about the West in general right now? Which up-and-coming artists are you listening to?
Well, with the West Coast, it's hard, man, you know, because a lot of the new cats out here, they don't get love unless they're endorsed by, like, you know, Dre or somebody and stuff. So it's hard to really know who's out there, but, you know, Bishop Lamont's pretty good. Who else is out there? It's hard, man, because L.A.'s so big, you just don't know who the new rappers are out here. You know, you kind of got to go look for them, so... But I like what Jackin's doing, you know?
Yeah.
Not new, but I like the type of shit that he's doing right now, and him and Cynic are putting it down.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you what you thought of the Legend and the Mask and the Assassin album that they put out.
Yeah, I like it. There's definitely some dope songs on there. They, you know, they opened for us at the House of Blues for Halloween, and when those songs came on, when they started playing their set, people went nuts, you know, so they definitely got some heaters, you know.
I heard that Duke is giving a return to the mic. Could that create a possibility for a reunion with you, Jackin, and Duke?
Yeah, I would do it with them in a heartbeat. You know, me and Jack have already been talking about stuff like that, so it's just about, you know, both of us finding the time to do it.
Okay. And I heard that DJ Quick produced some tracks for you back in 2005 when y'all did Fandango. What happened to those songs?
Well, actually, Fandango was for his record, you know.
Yeah.
After that, we talked about doing some beats for my record and stuff like that, but then he went on vacation for a while, and, you know, that kind of got put on hold, but I think maybe before I finish my record, like, before I turn it in, you know, I'm going to try to get a couple tracks from him, because Quick is one of the dopest producers out here in the West Coast.
Definitely.
That, produces not just the West Coast sound. Like, a lot of people don't really realize how dope Quick is, you know, because they don't get to hear his other beats.
Right.
He has that aren't, like, necessarily West Coast style, you know. So I'm going to try to, you know, talk him into giving me a few of those kind of beats.
Okay.
Before we turn it in.
Yeah. And you've also been getting down with Fred Rec. How would you describe your chemistry with Fred?
Fred Rec's like my little brother, man. You know, he just lives like maybe 5 minutes around the corner from me. And, you know, we kick it a lot. Right now he's in Dubai. He's been gone for the last 3-4 months.
Oh, okay.
Doing MTV in Dubai.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, he's my boy. You know, he was a DJ for Cypress Hill on tour for the last couple years. Well, you know, we've been doing these shows and whatnot, so we definitely got a good chemistry, and, you know, I understand the way he produces, he understands the way I write, and, you know, he gave me a few heaters.
Okay, and I heard that Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas redid a Cypress Hill classic. Do you think that's going to come out?
I hope it comes out. She fucking killed it, man. She really, really killed it, you know, out of people that have tried to do remakes of our songs and stuff like that.
Which track did she do?
I think she did it the best. She did Kill a Man, but
oh, okay.
She turned it into How I Could Just Thrill a Man.
Oh, okay.
But she used the same style, and she sung the style that we were rapping in, and it came out really fucking dope. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it gets out there, you know.
Alright, and do you think there is a possibility of getting another unreleased and revamped album?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible, you know, but we're going to take things one step at a time. We're going to work on this record, make the best record possible, and then see where we go from there.
Alright, do you feel that as a hip-hop pioneer, you get the respect you deserve from the industry?
I think in some regards we do, but like in other regards we're definitely looked over on a lot of shit. But I don't really care what they think, you know. For me, it's what the fans think and feel, and what, you know, that's what matters to me. If the critics and the magazines don't give us our props and our respect that we deserve, yeah, I could give a fuck, you know.
Right.
As long as the fans know and we know what we've done, you know.
Okay. Do you have any upcoming tours planned with Cypress Hill or solo?
Cypress Hill, we're going to Australia in February.
Okay.
For a few festivals down there, and we'll probably be touring after we release the album. For my solo shit, I definitely have plans to do shows and some touring. You know, I just got to get the release date first and figure out a single, and then figure out who I'm going to tour with or how, you know, what kind of venues I'm going to be in. So we'll see what happens.
All right. To end this off, I have a throwback question for you. You remember the joint Throw Your Hands in the Air with MCA, Derek Sermon, and Redman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you how that track came together, you know, how y'all came up with it and how it was recorded.
Actually, everybody did them in different studios. I mean, I did my part, you know, in Muggs' studio. He sent the beat out to Eric Sermon, you know, he did it in his studio with him and Redman. And I think maybe MC8 came down to Muggs' studio to do his part. But, you know, they're all good friends of ours, so it kind of just came together naturally. It was really, you know, that's one of the better remixes that we've put out, you know. It was just too bad Sony didn't really know what to do with it at the time.
Right. Yeah, I kind of missed those posse cuts, like, you know, that Hit 'Em High from the Space Jam soundtrack and this joint, you know, especially with the videos.
I think it'll come back. Everything, you know, goes in cycles, you know, so I think eventually, you know, it'll all come back to that.
All right, you know, I really appreciate your time. Before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to let everybody know?
You know, I just want to thank everybody for their support throughout the years, and, you know, if they want any info on Cypress or my shit, then go to BeRealOnline.com or MySpace.com/BeRealOnline, and, you know, they can find out what's up with our merch, find out what's up with our tour dates and album information, all that shit.